Father, I thank you, God, that as I share what you've given me to share, God, that the word will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. We fully expect signs, wonders, and miracles to occur as a result of this word. Jesus, we give you honor and glory in advance for partnering with us and demonstrating signs, wonders, and miracles through us. And we thank you that we are ignited, activated, and empowered in the power of Holy Spirit to perform signs, to demonstrate the kingdom, to demonstrate the risen Savior, and to make on earth be like it is in heaven, in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen. All right, go ahead, fade that out for me. Glory to God. Yolanda, yep, I saw you put the hand raise emoji chat, hand raise emoji in the chat. Thank you so much. And I could tell you, you are being activated right now. Even as I'm speaking and as I continue to speak, you're going to feel a sense of breath. What I hear is God is going to breathe on you. It's going to feel like someone is literally breathing on you even as I continue speaking. And just know that is the breath of God refreshing you, revitalizing you, but also releasing an extra, I don't want to say extra, but I'm just phrasing it the way I'm hearing it, an extra grace upon you. Hallelujah. Extra grace upon you, Yolanda. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Your name has been called. Your name has been called. Somebody's calling your name. Somebody's talking about y'all behind your back. But guess what? They're saying good stuff. I started sharing last week, and I kind of just encouraged you that your name has been called. See, a lot of times we focus on critics. We focus on who's criticizing, who's hating, and all of that. And then people, you know, begin to celebrate how many haters they got. But I'm telling you, as a believer, your name is being called, but it's not because someone is hating. It's because the favor of God is being released. People have seen you, heard about you, been thinking about you, and now your name is being called and you are being talked about in a favorable way. Even right now for you, and I declare for you, some of y'all, before you, when this thing is over, when your program is over, watch how people speak about you differently. And you won't even have to say or prove anything. They're going to see you and know something is different because God is dealing with some people's hearts right now. Some of you, I don't know which one of y'all it is, but one of y'all family members has really have a history of hating on you and criticizing you and talking bad about you and basically dogging you. But I'm telling you, God is correcting that right now. Glory to God. So here's the thing, as we were talking about this Joseph anointing, and remember, it's the anointing of Jesus or the anointing of God that was demonstrated in the life of Joseph. And so as we were talking about it, there were two things that kept ringing out that God spoke to me. He said that our gifts will make room for us. And I was like, wow, come on, let's dig into that, Jesus. Yep, I see that confirmation, Deborah. Yep, your family member gonna hush it too in the name of Jesus. So let's look at that in Proverbs 18, verse 16. And I'm going to read this from the New American Standard. It says, a man's gift. Now, when it's talking about man here, it's talking about mankind. So it's talking about a person's gift makes room for him. What makes the room? The gift. Thank you, Kelly. Paying attention. Man, I'm telling you, if I was teaching in a classroom, I would have been like, I had to toss some candy or something. It says, a man's gift makes room. And so the thing that makes room is the gift. Say, but where does the gift come from? God. The scripture says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. Now, a lot of times we compartmentalize gifts. We want to talk about manifestation gifts, grace gifts, natural gifts, spiritual gifts. Gifts are gifts. And every gift that came from God is spiritual. and is a manifestation gift because it's meant to be manifested. I know I just blew somebody's thing out the water because there are whole books on manifestation gifts and power gifts, and I know that's us categorizing stuff. But let me tell you, God ain't categorizing gifts like that. And so every gift, whether you call it a natural talent, it is a gift that comes from God and is meant to be utilized for the fulfillment of your purposes and destiny. Otherwise, you wouldn't have it. And you can say it is a supernatural or spiritual gift because it came from a supernatural God, meaning the function of it is going to be supernatural. So whether you say, well, I'm just painting, well, you should be painting supernaturally. Or you say, well, I'm just good in accounting, where you are good in accounting supernaturally. Because when you place the demand on the supernatural part of it, then you get the results of the supernatural. Can you say amen to that? And so it says, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. The gift is the container that makes room and carries you or moves you before people of authority. So some people are looking for favor with man, and God is giving you that favor, but you got to recognize that there is a connection with the exercising of your gift. And this is not an excuse to be zealous. Val, did you help with the PowerPoint for the live stream? Okay, because I need the people on stream to see this. Because it is the exercising of the gifts of God that's placed within us that makes room for us. And as we consistently exercise our gifts, we'll be placed before the people of influence and then placed in positions of influence. I'll say that one more time. You'll see it on the screen in a minute. It is the exercising of the gifts that God has placed within us that makes room for us as we consistently exercise those gifts, we'll be placed before people of influence and placed in positions of influence. Because when we talk about the Joseph anointing, it was him exercising his gift that brought him before Pharaoh. And then the exercising of it before Pharaoh was the catalyst to the promotion. So, hallelujah. Let's look at Genesis 45, because we're going to start at a particular point and then we're going to backtrack a little bit. So Genesis 45, verse 7. Genesis 45, verse 7, for everybody following the scripture. It's uploaded. Okay. That's strange. All right, for those of you watching online, just check me. Just check the voice. All right, so it says this. Genesis 45, verse 7 says, God sent me before you to preserve you a remnant in the earth. Now, this is what Joseph was telling his siblings after they finally came to him, because their nation, the other nations, the land of Canaan and everywhere else was drying up because of a famine. But Egypt didn't dry up because they experienced 7 years of abundance. And Joseph had the insight and the wisdom to store up some of that abundance to make the nation, to cause the nation to be sustainable during famine. And the other nations dried up. Now, here's the thing I was wondering. I was like, Jesus, during those 7 years of abundance, did other nations experience abundance too? Because the scripture doesn't tell us. So did the whole world experience abundance, but then Joseph had the insight to be able to say, look, we need to store this up? Or was it just Egypt experiencing abundance and everybody else was experiencing just normal stuff? And then Joseph did his thing. That's one of the questions that make you go, right? But we see, regardless of what the other nations were doing, apparently they ran out. Egypt didn't because of Joseph. Now, here's the thing. We are in this time of abundance, and it was Joseph that had the wisdom and discernment of what to do with the abundance that made the difference. Because if Egypt would not have taken that portion out to store, their abundance would have been swallowed up, just like Joseph interpreted. Because remember, when Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream, he said that there would be 7 years of abundance followed by 7 years of famine. And then he said the famine would be so severe, it will swallow up the abundance. So it was Joseph exercising his prophetic and discerning gift. And then he got strategy on what to do during that abundance to cause Egypt to be sustained and every other nation to be sustained. Now, remember, I said it's not enough to receive revelation. We have to sit with God after we get the revelation to get the strategy about what he's revealed. Too many people run with the revelation without the strategy. And the scripture says zeal without knowledge is dangerous. Proverbs 19:2 said it also is not good for a person to be without knowledge. And he hurries his footstep, and he who hurries his footstep errs. Sometimes people get so excited because we get hyped up. And people with the lights and the fog and the charisma, and they be like, get a load of shout. And we like, yes! And then we run out without strategy and run an error and get mad at God. Or we'll say, well, I'm only human. We all miss it. We all fall short of the glory. No, we don't. That's a lie from the pit of hell. The scripture said all have fallen short, past tense. The falling short happened before Jesus. You cannot fall short of the glory when it says Christ in you, the hope of glory. But a lot of times we believe these lies that have been spoken to us because we've disqualified ourselves by not being in alignment with God. And then we get an excuse as to why we were out of alignment, and then people teach it like it's doctrine when it's the doctrine of men. And I'll just call it the doctrine of foolishness. So in Genesis 45:7, Joseph was talking to his brothers and said, God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Could it be that the exercising of your gift in the place God has assigned you is to keep somebody alive and to preserve them and bring about a great deliverance? See, a lot of times we think about deliverance because, you know, deliverance is becoming popular again. But, you know, I'm not into fads and phases, you know, the prophetic phase, the apostolic phase, the deliverance phase. I'm not into all of that. I'm into the kingdom, which encompasses the prophetic, which encompasses deliverance, which encompasses the angelic, which encompasses the faith. And people want to make stuff a movement when it's not a movement, it's kingdom. And they want to build a camp around one aspect of the kingdom instead of embracing all of it. Are you with the Word of Faith camp? You should be too. The Bible says it's the Word of Faith that we preach. So it says, now, therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh. I'm going to pause right there. It says, he has made me a father to Pharaoh. the dude who was just in jail, a slave in jail. Prior to being a slave in jail, he was a slave out of jail, who now exercises his gift in front of Pharaoh. He gets promoted to be the second in command of the nation. But even though he wasn't the principal leader, he still did the thing that people call today leading up. Because it says God made him a father to Pharaoh, meaning that he provided counsel, and I would almost say mentorship, because that's what fathers do, and nurturing to the person who was actually in charge of him. That happened because he was exercising his what? Gift. See, a lot of people have allowed aspiration for position to be the thing that they believe is the catalyst for operating in your assignment like you should. Position does not prevent you from operating in your assignment. Position only gets you in position to operate in the assignment in a greater way. And positional leadership is the lowest form of leadership anyway, where people follow you because you're in a position or have a title. See, Joseph was able to provide mentorship and exercise influence over Pharaoh because of his gifting. The gift made room and brought him among great men, caused him to be promoted, and then caused him to provide counsel to the person who promoted him. Say the gift. Your gift is making room for you. But a lot of times, we don't stir it up and we don't exercise it. That's why Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that was deposited in you. Because a lot of times we compartmentalize our gifts, or we over-spiritualize them, wondering what our gifts are, when you're using them every day but don't consider them to be a gift. Or we're waiting to do it in a worship setting like this, when this is only one sphere of influence. There are six spheres of influence that need the exercising of the gift. Because Daniel was not in the temple prophesying and interpreting dreams. He was in the jail first. I'm sorry, Joseph. Yeah, we're going to talk about Daniel too. We're going to get to him. Him too. He wasn't in the temple either. Because you're going to see that parallel. So Joseph was in jail first. What if he wouldn't have even yielded himself, one, to receive the promotion to run the jail as a prisoner? And then what if he would have ignored the cupbearer and the baker when they had their dream? If he would have not recognized that there is a demand for the gift in him where he was assigned and placed. See, where you are placed right now, there is a demand for the gift of God on your life. The people don't know that the demand is on your gift, but the need is crying out for your gift. It's like the scripture says, all of creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. There is a need in the place you are assigned, and that need is crying out. There are some groanings. There is somebody struggling with something, and they're trying to figure it out. And you are the one with the gift that has the answer. Because remember, Pharaoh had the dream and he couldn't figure it out. And somebody had to be calling Joseph's name to say, you know what? I know a dude. Because when I was in jail, he did this. In fact, let's turn it. Let's look at that. Let's look at that. Look at Genesis 41 and verse 9. We'll start at verse 9 when the chief cupbearer is speaking up. Genesis 41, verse 9. Because right before that, in verse 1, it says, it happened at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream. Now, that's key because in chapter 40, the last thing we hear about is Joseph interpreting the dream correctly and it manifesting the exact way he interpreted. But it says 2 full years. I mean, they let you know. It wasn't like 2 years from that date. It was 2 full years. But notice Pharaoh's dream. Let's back up to verse 1. I'm sorry. Notice Pharaoh's dream, because I want you to see this scripture. Because let's close read this thing. It says, now it happened at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had the dream. He didn't have the dream till 2 years later. So 2 years after the exercising of the gift and seeing it manifest, there's a waiting period that Joseph goes through. Then Pharaoh has the dream at the end of those 2 years. Why didn't Pharaoh have that dream earlier? I don't know. All we know is that 2 years later, Pharaoh has the dream. That was the divine Kairos moment because Pharaoh has this dream. He can't figure it out. And then the cupbearer says, I remember something. Because in verse 9, it says, then the chief cupbearer spoke to Pharaoh saying, I would make mention today of my own offenses. Pharaoh was furious with his servants. He put me in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard, both me and the chief baker. We had a dream on the same night. He and I, each of us, dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now, a Hebrew youth was with us there, a servant of the captain of the bodyguard. Now, notice something happened where Pharaoh got mad and threw two of his leaders in jail. Because he was the chief baker and the chief cupbearer. So two leaders messed up and they got put in jail by Pharaoh because Pharaoh was having this tantrum or got mad. Now at the exact moment they're put in jail, Joseph is there. They're put under the same bodyguard that Joseph is serving. Say divine moment. See, that setup was happening while Joseph was just doing his thing. Now he's serving them and they said on the same night they had a dream. I hope y'all are catching this because it's like, Jesus, two people having a dream at the same night and they were different dreams. It wasn't like they were in the same place. And they'd be like, you dreamed that? I dreamed that too. You dreamed about pizza? No, I dreamed about tacos. I mean, it wasn't that. They had different dreams the same night. And it says, now a Hebrew youth was there. He was the servant of the captain of the bodyguard. We related them to him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. Now, check this. You should be highlighting this in your Bible app. To each one, he interpreted according to his own dream. Look at the exactness and specificity of the exercising of the gift. He didn't give a general, oh, God loves you with an everlasting love. He didn't give a fluff kind of word or interpretation. What he did was he heard each person's dream, exercised his gift, and gave the interpretation with specificity. And then he told them what was going to happen and what God was revealing to that dream with specificity. And then verse 13 says, and just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. Just as God reveals something to you, so it happens. See, a lot of times folks are thinking that it's on them to make something happen. And that's why they're scared to exercise their gift. But it's not you, it's Jesus. Jesus performed the supernatural sign today. It wasn't me. When we get a prophetic word, it's not us, it's Jesus. I'm just the mail dude. I don't have to understand the package, know what's in the package. I just got to take the package and give it to you. And people are scared because they think, well, people going to think I'm a false prophet. Well, the only way to be a false prophet is to falsely prophesy from your own soul or at the inspiration of a demon. And so if you're not doing that, you're not a false prophet. And some people are scared about missing it. Well, you can't miss it if you repeat what you hear. From Holy Spirit, yes. Don't repeat, don't listen to the other voices. And then they'd be like, well, what if it don't come to pass? Well, that's what Jonah said. I prophesy, and then they repent, and it don't happen. That's why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, because of his reputation. And that's why he sat in that well for 3 days, and then got spit out when he finally submitted. Could it be something is in a holding pattern because you are refusing to submit to what God is telling you to do? Because you're concerned about your reputation? So we know that Joseph interprets. We know that he gives strategy. We know that he gets promoted. Now I'm going to tell you that in this season, there is going to be an increased demand of you and all of us to operate as prophetic people. There is an increased demand for you to hear God and speak the voice of God in your sphere of influence. And there is a need for you to do it in a way that's kingdom and not bound by religion. You don't want to be in the business and go, oh, Shia. Somebody might think you're having a seizure and start calling 911. You don't want to be like, the Spirit of God is in this place and I sense the anointing. When God is calling you to exercise your gift, he will give you wisdom to release it in a way that people can hear it. God is calling for people to operate as prophetic people, as apostolic people, as pastoral people in these other spheres of influence. God is concerned more of, he's not just concerned about the sphere of religion. He's concerned about business, economics, media, arts, entertainment, education, and government. And he is requiring us to increase our skill set in those areas and develop our gifting as well. Because God is looking for people who are not just competent, but confident. God doesn't want you so gifted that you don't know your trade. And he doesn't want you so dependent upon your trade that you can't flow in the prophetic in your workplace. Recognize that all knowledge, I don't want to say all, let me say it this way. All, let's say, business knowledge, reading knowledge, math knowledge, science knowledge, in their purest form came from God. But when people try to apply something that came from God with the natural mind, they fall short. They error because the natural mind can't perceive the things of God. That's why sometimes science does not align with what God has said because they're trying to interpret with a natural mind and do so many tests and form a hypothesis. With God, you don't hypothesize. You speak the reality and the truth. In science, they're gathering data. God is releasing revelation. So let me show you Daniel real quick. I got like 8 minutes. So in Daniel chapter 2, we see the same parallel. And so I'm going to tell you what God told me prophetically last week at the end of our gathering in a second. But let's look at this parallel. Let's do this compare and contrast between Joseph and Daniel. Because we see the same thing happening. You know, if I was a 1995 gangster rapper, I'd be like, same thing, different day, homie. And then I'll be like, what's up? But here's what happened. In Daniel chapter 2, it says, now in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. Don't that sound like Pharaoh with Joseph? Had dream, spirit left him. His spirit was vexing him. Also, one caveat about Daniel, we see that Daniel kept getting promoted. When you read the book of Daniel, there were several changes of kings, but Daniel kept getting promoted. So it doesn't matter who changes leadership where in your workplace. One manager comes, next manager goes. When I was in the school district, one superintendent left, another one came. It doesn't matter, the favor is still the favor. So it says, in verse 2, it says, then the king gave orders to call in the magicians, the conjurers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So we see there, he was troubled, but Nebuchadnezzar put a demand on the supernatural, which they could not do. He said, not only are you going to tell me the interpretation, I want you to tell me what I dream. Now, that was kind of rough, right? Them folks was like, wait a minute. In verse 10, they said, there is not a man on earth who could declare this matter for the king. He says, inasmuch as no great king or ruler has ever, and I would say ever, asked anything like this of any magician, conjurer, or Chaldean. So do you know that there are places where people are being vexed because they don't know what to do? They can't interpret dreams. They can't interpret the signs of what they're seeing. All they know is people are talking about recession, recession, recession. And Jesus is talking about abundance, abundance, abundance. People are saying, recession-proof your business. And I'm like, prepare your business for overflow. And so he's gone to the people who he thought were the experts. There are people right now engaging in transcendental meditation. They're doing all these things to try to hear God. They're doing yoga chants. They're doing all of these spiritual things to try to hear God because they recognize that what they are speaking of and what they are facing is something that's unprecedented and beyond their scope. It's out of their reach. So Nebuchadnezzar had that same thing. And then it says the Chaldeans, none of them could proclaim the dream. Daniel hears about it, and in verse 14, it says, Daniel replied with discretion and discernment. I want to highlight that to you because a lot of times it goes back to the exercising of the gift in maturity and wisdom. Daniel didn't run up and start speaking in tongues. He didn't run up and be like, I'm going to proclaim the word of the Lord to y'all. He did discretion and discernment. I'm telling you, we have to exercise the gift, but we have to do it through wisdom and maturity. The spirit is subject to the prophet. The exercising of your gift can be controlled. You cannot function uncontrollable. This is not the new age ecstatic uncontrollable shaking. This is Holy Spirit. so we can use wisdom and discretion and allow God to give us a doorway to these people who are perplexed, to bring them solution. So we see that Daniel went in with discretion and discernment. He finds out what happens. And then verse 16, it says, Daniel went in and requested of the king that he would give him time in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, about the matter, so that they may request compassion from God of heaven concerning this mystery. Remember, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians that he reveals to us the mysteries of God, right? So they had a right to request revelation upon this what? Mystery. How many of us are asking for revelation upon a mystery that's being dealt with? Or do we just say, as long as I get my check, I'm cool? But you are placed there for more than a check. Because that check is just seed anyway, and just one avenue of provision. And that check doesn't provide abundance. The exercising of your gift does. So you're placed there to exercise your gift, and you get a little something on the side, but then make room for abundance. Now, what if Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael would have just been like, let's just bounce. Let's try to find a way of escape. But it says they had compassion from God of heaven concerning the mystery so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Look at verse 19. Then the mystery was revealed. They sought God for revelation, and then the mystery was revealed. And we know the end of that because Daniel goes to Nebuchadnezzar, reveals the dream and the interpretation, and what happened to Daniel? He got promoted. Are you seeing the parallel? I hope y'all seeing that parallel. Come on. Joseph and Daniel both received revelation from God, shared that revelation with a person in authority, and as a result were promoted. Can you see that in this moment, while all the turmoil is going on, that it's a perfect setup for you to step in, use your gift, release the revelation of God, and allow that thing to cause you to be what? Promoted. Now, we know we're in this place of abundance, but I tell you, I want to focus on this fact of promotion. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to give you five things real quick. That's the appropriate faith response to your name being called. Now, I'm going to say them real quick because my timer just went off. Number one, you have to acknowledge the gifts that God has placed within you. You cannot operate in a gift that you haven't even acknowledged. And you shouldn't be waiting on myself or apostle to acknowledge your gift. Your gift is for you to operate in your assigned sphere of influence. While you're waiting on one sphere, you should be operating in the other. I was operating in my prophetic gift way before I started operating in it here. I was operating in it on my job as a principal, declaring what was coming down the pipe that I sensed. And while teachers was like, well, where's the data to support that? I was like, look, here, I didn't tell them I have revelation from God, but I would just say, look, this is what we're going to do anyway. I don't have data for it, but this is what I am feeling we need to do. And it played out exactly like I said. Number two, you got to allow God to develop us in the exercising of our gifts. This includes submitting to those he's assigned to help you grow. You got to allow God to develop you in the gift, in your personal time, and around those he has placed to help you grow. And the heart of being a mentee is one of submission and learning, not of trying to get promoted. Because I'm very watchful of when people want to get promoted or just go through the process to get promoted. Because I'm looking at where is your heart. Because leadership is about serving. I'm just saying. If you want to serve. Because that's what James and John asked. They was like, look, can we be on your right and on your left when you come into your kingdom? He said, can you drink the cup? Can you bear the responsibility? See, God told me last week, I'm making your name great. When we had dismissed and we were down there at Koinonia and I was like going down the hall, he said, I'm making your name great. I was like, thank you, Jesus. But I know it's not just for me. God is making your name great. Notice who's making it great. So we don't have to try to position ourselves to make our own name great. Number three, recognize the gifts that God has placed within us is to be used in our assigned sphere of influence. Don't compartmentalize your gift. Number four, understand the exercising of your gift is a necessity to the fulfillment of purposes and destiny. There are too many people trying to fulfill purpose and destiny without using their gifts. How are you going to fulfill the purpose and the assignment and walk out destiny that God sent you here for and not using the gifts he sent with you to do it? Talking about I'm believing God. Well, believe God to use that gift too. Then number five, exercise your gift with confidence and wisdom. You have to be confident in the exercising of your gift and utilize wisdom as you exercise your gift. You can't be scared. You just can't. Hallelujah.